Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Hour number three, always my favorite hour because my blood sugar isn't dropping and I most certainly am not going to start berating anybody for any mistakes that they make. Andrew, I'm talking to you, my friend. Dave Riker said to a bunch of Pierce County Republicans, marriage is between a man and a woman. And the stranger is not very happy about that. O.J. Simpson's death reminds America of its persistent judicial problem. Angelo Pro Russell has a great analysis encapsulating O.J.'s death and what it actually means peripherally for all Americans.
Nice.
Interfaith Club has been rejected by a school locally because they said, well, we already have that prayer group. We just didn't tell anybody about it. And now you can't have a new one. So it's kind of a bizarre story, right?
That is weird.
All right. So Dave Riker, we've already talked about this earlier today. He's going to be in, where's he going to be with the GOP?
Spokane, the GOP caucus, or the convention, I should say.
Right.
They're going to caucus this weekend in Spokane to pick their Republican gubernatorial candidate for 2024.
There's only one question that matters to me for those men up there on that stage is that do you support former President Donald Trump, our real and rightful president, who was had the election stolen from him? That's what I would say if I were there, because I totally believe those words that just came out of my mouth. And if they don't believe it, I don't want to vote for him, because that's how rigid I am in the way that I think about politics.
You would not be alone in Spokane in that point of view.
That's correct. Gosh darn it. And so he came out. He was in February. He was speaking to a bunch of Pierce County Republicans. And Laura, do we still have that audio of what the fine Dave Riker said to those people? Can we play that really quick?
Number one, my wife is a woman and I'm a man. And you're a woman and I'm a man. There's only man and woman. I was raised as a Christian, and marriage is between a man and a woman.
So there's a lot to unpack there. The first hour of the show, I went on a tremendous ranting and raving, and I was belligerent and basically nonsensical. I think I was just speaking atonal nonsense. Spike, you have a kid who's trans.
I do.
And so you have, I think, a better insight into what it means to have somebody who is, dare I say, deeply uneducated, ignorant, and so ignorant to the point where they are assured of their own ignorance on the issue, like they are so righteous in their ignorance that they are willing to repeat talking points that are basically as exciting as, you know, ice cream is cold. It's like it doesn't make any
sense. I was going to say marriage missionary lights
so
out.
Do you mind if I ask you a couple questions about the process with your kid?
Please.
How many doctor's visits you got to go through with your kid? You need to ballpark it, right?
A dozen?
Yeah.
Dozens, maybe more. You know, and we're talking about different levels of physical examination, mental evaluations, mental health care assessments, finding a permanent therapist who would work with my kid.
Right.
On any decisions they wanted to make regarding who they are as
psychiatric
a
evaluation.
Absolutely, every bit of it.
Right. And then on top of all, so it's not like you're walking into the Rainbow Clinic and they're like, here's your hormones.
Right. Drive through. You have to pull the car down.
So
you get the wish my kid was happy meal.
So when Dave says that, do you see that as, in so many ways, a kind of a disavowing of the process that your child has gone through? Is that your read of it?
You know, it's
you up to be mad.
Heartbroken. Because when family members espouse the same beliefs, deeply held beliefs.
Right.
Does it hurt my heart that they don't care enough about the person they hate? Might be someone they love mentality.
Mm.
That, you know, you couldn't be bothered to do a little research into before you dismiss everything about this person that you've known since they were born.
Right. Yeah.
And not just what clothes they wear or how they decide to live their lives moving forward. Dave Riker can have those beliefs. I don't disrespect Dave Reichert's beliefs in how he was raised as a good Christian, as he'll tell the fundraising crowd in front of him, and they needed their checkbook to have a shot at the governor's race.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said a couple hours ago, I worry about a man who holds those beliefs so convicted that he is going to maybe one day have some legislation cross his desk that could take my kids' rights away from him. And he
That's my point. Act
on who he really is,
right?
Not who he campaigns to be.
You know, Spike, you know that I'm a good Christian boy. You know this about me. And you know, I get on my knees every single night and I pray to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
I know you do.
I was perusing through the Bible the other day. You know, just getting a little bit Genesis through Revelations, just trying to brush up on my talking points. And I was thinking to myself, oh, yeah, I'll go to the part where God talks to Moses about neuroanatomy, right? And it's the complex science of neurobiological development in human beings, right? And I'm skimming through it, and I thought, well, maybe it's actually in John. Maybe I should go to...
Maybe it's there.
So I went there, and I was skimming through it, and I'm looking for all the pieces about, you know, like MRI scans and brain activity and electrical activity compared between like trans people and then cis people. I couldn't find it there either. So then I keep going. I'm just rifling through it. And then I get to, you know, Lazarus dies and Jesus is super upset. And I go, okay, no, nothing about trans people here in the Christian. I'm just rifling through it. I found no scientific literature in there whatsoever about complex biologic phenomenon. And I thought to myself, maybe people shouldn't say, as a Christian, I believe, because that's a trash argument. Because basically what it is, if you guys, let me recontextualize this for you. You know, I don't like gender theory.
Yeah, I know.
Gender theory is trash. Gender theory is the basic idea, or it's the presupposition that gender as an expression is something that we are taught, right? It's the idea that something that is a learned behavior, and that the way that we express it is reinforced through social pressures or social guidelines. And because of that, it's kind of an illusory system, or it's a system that is just kind of fake. It's just kind of a facade, right?
They say
there is no such thing as gender. That's gender theory. That's trash. Okay. On the flip side of that, when you have there's only such thing as a man and a woman, that's also gender theory, which is trash. It's garbage, because we understand that when we talk about complex biology, we have to remove these presuppositions about what it means to be a human being. If I asked somebody to describe a human being, they would say, well, two arms and two legs and a functioning brain. We know that right now there is a baby boy who has been born. He has no brain. He only has a brain stem. He's able to breathe, and that's about it. I think he's two developmentally. Is he not a human being? There is a man. He's a Christian motivational speaker from Australia. He was born without any arms, without any legs. Does that make him not a human being? We all understand that birth defects or developmental things can occur. For some reason, when it comes to the brain or trans people, people go, no. And I have no idea why. I'm thinking to myself, we understand that we can have conjoined twins who are born with two heads, right? Laura has her twin is actually in her body, and it whispers sociopathic thoughts to her on a regular basis. She told me this and told me not to tell anybody about it.
She told you confidence, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, my God.
Same way she told me.
I'm just saying, like, I absorbed my twin in the womb, which is why I have superhuman strength.
And intelligence.
I have...
brain and a half.
Like, so when Dave Reichert... with that amount of confidence gets up there and he's running for the governor, I think to myself, not only am I smarter than Dave Reichert, but I know the limitations of my own intellect, which makes me not only a better choice for governor, but fundamentally a better human being. I'll say it flat out all day long. If you can't recognize the limitations of your own intellect, please get out of my face. I am rescinding my endorsement for that man.
For Dave Reichert.
Based on this trash.
Yeah.
Because if you go in front of those people in front of Pierce County and you basically reinforce it through talking points that are, 8 or 9 years old, get out of here, dude. Like, if it is one of the most important cultural issues of our time and you distill it down to a man is a man and is a woman is a woman, it's like, dude, read a study about it and then go in front of those people in front of Pierce County and then explain to them how you really feel about it. Not this, like, politicking trash. I'm off my high horse now. Sorry.
Well, that's okay, buddy. I appreciate your passion. Dave Reichert did what he had to do in that room because he wants a shot at the governorship, and that's the only way to get there is to give the crowd
foolish,
what they want.
Man.
I understand. But aren't they set up by that question? Can you define what a woman is? I mean, what a... Who is it, Blackburn, that did that in the Senate hearing with a medical doctor? Or no, it was with a Supreme Court nominee, Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Talking about Marsha Blackburn?
Marsha Blackburn,
Harry Potter villain and sitting senator from Tennessee?
That's the one. Define what a woman is, like some stupid gotcha-ass moment.
Right, yeah.
Read a book.
This is the issue that I have with this kind of discourse around a medical issue. We don't do it with anything else because you can't make a political issue out of hip replacements or knee replacements. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You can't make a political issue out of, I don't know, COPD or whatever it might be. Right.
Right.
That doesn't get people motivated. What gets people motivated are sociopaths. I say that as a statement of opinion, not statement of fact, like Christopher Rufo or like Ben Shapiro or whoever it might be, who run around lying to their listeners about what it means to be a transgender individual and taking what is otherwise an incredibly complex issue and making it stupid. These people are insane people who are lying to their audience, and I choose not to do it. I say this is complex science. Flat out. And if you don't bother to read it, it's not my problem. Dave Reichert should probably go read something. All right.
Can I close by saying this isn't an attack on your religious beliefs, people? If you want to feel that way, by all means, Dave Reichert, if you feel that a man is woman to woman, and a marriage should be nothing other than that, that's your right to believe that. You have all the live long day.
Yeah, I'm not the thought police.
Yeah.
But I will say that when it comes to policy, you got to draw a line when it comes to people's ignorance.
Thank you.
Angela Poe Russell wrote a very great piece about O.J. Simpson's passing. It's O.J.'s death reminds America of its persistent judicial problem. Do you want to summarize it for us, Mr. O'Neill?
Well, Angela's piece, it's at mynorthwest.com still. I believe it's still archived there. You can read this. It was published, it's up there today, this morning. Basically, it's saying that O.J.'s legal issues and the court, the trial of the century, illustrated how the difference in our judicial system in O.J.'s instance was about money and not having money, about having the legal representation of a dream team. And it showed just how unfair the justice system can be to various segments of America, with a larger perspective about how communities of color, communities of underprivileged financial status, don't have the fair legal access that those of us like O.J. Simpson or, say, President Trump, for example, can buy their way to a more just outcome in the legal system.
How dare you? How dare you say that about our fine president who's being maliciously maligned by a corrupt DOJ. What is it? What is it? The DOB is what I call it.
Yes.
The Department of Biden is what I call it. He's weaponizing the DOB against Trump, trying to interfere with the election. I said it. I'm crazy enough to say it. Yeah, I might get fired after the show, but I'll say it.
Angela's piece points out very well how we still have a justice issue in this country. For example, folks who can't afford the legal representation, say, of an O.J. or a President Trump, and who's relying upon the constitutional right to legal representation in court. One will be provided for you if you cannot afford an attorney, right? But that system that so many of us are relying upon because of our financial status, not just about color, but about where we live geographically, what it may be, we're underrepresented in a court of law. We have public defenders who are overtaxed, overburdened, sheer necessity of surviving the system, defendants are forced to plea out and to take lesser charge convictions and serve lesser time because you've got a terrible attorney who's, well, not terrible, that's not fair. You've got a newer attorney.
Overworked, underpaid,
overtaxed attorney who's not going to give you the fair representation in court that money can buy for people like O.J. or Donald Trump, and you're going to be subjected
to... How dare you, Spike, again, saying Donald Trump unfairly attacked.
When we have a two-tier justice system where the super wealthy, whatever their skin color may be, brown, orange, white, whatever it might be, you can appeal this. How many times did the former president try to delay the trial in New York? Up to the morning of Monday morning.
How dare you?
He's still trying to have it moved because that's his right to do so.
Mm-hmm.
A public attorney, a public defender will never provide that type of legal assistance to the majority of Americans who need to rely on that system for legal protection.
Right. And thankfully, former President Donald Trump put his money where his mouth is when he gave all those J6 defendants the money that he promised to give them. Of course, you remember
did
that?
Did he do that? I missed that.
Of course he did that and didn't lie to those poor people and take all that money and funnel it into his own campaign. I mean, of course he paid for the legal fees of those 1,300 people because he said he would do it and he's a man who never lies. Laura, you're shaking your head at me. Don't tell me that Donald Trump lied about spending money defending the J6 political prisoners. He raised like $50 million. I read all about it. And he said he promised he was going to give it to those poor people. Are you telling me that he broke his promise?
Broke a promise?
Is that what you're saying that Trump did?
I don't know.
Maybe he still will.
Yeah.
He hasn't yet.
Maybe he hasn't yet?
No, he hasn't.
He has to win first.
But...
So they can save that money by just pardoning.
But I got that. Yes. I got the ad where he promised that money to those people, and I saw it. He stood and he said, "It's the fund that was going to go to the J6." You're telling me that where did that $50 million go that he said that he was going to take for the Did he not pay it out?
He's paid a lot of money to lawyers, but they're representing him and not the guys in jail.
So I'm going to have to look into this, because if I know anything about history, I don't know if you've heard this story, but Donald Trump, when he was very, very young, his father had a collection of cherry trees outside of his real estate developments.
Yeah.
And his father left for the day. And when he came back, he saw, this is when Trump was very, very young, mm-hmm. he saw that one of those cherry trees had been chopped down, right?
Okay.
And he went up to little Donald Trump and he said, "Did you cut down my cherry trees?" And Donald Trump said, "I cannot tell a lie. Yes, I did." That's a true aspect of Donald Trump.
I thought he took out a full page ad in the New York Times saying that the five people who chopped down the cherry trees should be spending the rest of their days in jail. I misheard the story.
That's a really great
story. I misheard the story.
All right. There's an interfaith club that got rejected at an elementary school. Basically, it's students at Creekside Elementary. And they're threatening to sue the school for its refusal to allow a prayer club students wanted to create to feel more accepted for their religious views. The school is not specifically saying why they didn't allow the religious club. My understanding of this, though, is that they said, "Oh, well, we already have one, just nobody uses it, and we don't want to put the funds into it." But none of that makes any sense. If you got a bunch of kids who just want to go pray together, why are you cracking down on those? Why don't you just say, "Yeah, little kids, let's encourage you to enjoy your faith." I just don't, as educators, why would you try to deter that or make it a money issue, right?
I can't understand this either, because I've read the story twice, and the club was, they say, "Well, the club already exists, but nobody uses it, so we can't start a new club. We don't have the funds for that." And the kids are suing this. Are they suing this for the goal of publicity to the cause?
I think it's more so like when let's do a little Christian theology here. When you're a Christian everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Doesn't matter if airport, funeral home, you know, bank robbery, you're serving the Lord. And so these kids.
Hallelujah. That's a great legal defense.
These kids wanted to exercise that. And the principal said, this is a quote that was taken from the lawyer representing the kids. The reason the principal gave was that the clubs had already been established for a year back in October. Now, nobody knew that. Apparently, there was a meeting that was not publicized when the budget was decided on in October. As far as we can tell, the Pride Club has been allowed to start a week before the request in February. So my assumption here is that they, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, again, a statement of opinion, not a statement of fact. I think that they were trying to actively deter these kids from having a prayer club on campus, because they probably felt like it was exclusionary to kids who do not pray to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
I think you're probably right, but I hate that point of view. If you don't, it doesn't exclude anybody. Don't come. If you don't, if you don't believe in the faith, then we're not requiring you to come. I'm not for prayer in the classroom in any way, shape, or form.
Even as a private prayer?
A private. If you want to sit at your desk and lower your head, that's fine. But we don't have to stop the class while everybody does their own thing in their desk. Because some kids don't want to do that, and you're ostracized for not taking part.
Well, what am I supposed to do with my Mongolian throat singing prayer that I'm supposed to do every 15 minutes?
That should be held in the auditorium before a full student body. That's some art.
Every 15 minutes, I have to get on my mat, and I have to do, at minimum, 3.5 minutes of full-throated Mongolian throat singing. Diane Duthweiler drives her up a wall, but I have to do it every 15 minutes.
And this is a building that respects your beliefs and allows you to do so.
Because I did so under threat of lawsuit. That's a joke, everybody. That's a big joke. I don't actually do that.
I think these kids saw the example of Coach Kennedy, who sued the school for the ability to pray.
Yeah.
And says, you know, I'm all for kids being able to do what they want to do and with respect to other students and not forcing your beliefs on others.
Mom yearns for her kids to feel the same freedoms of her youth. I often think of my youth running, fleeing.
Sure. I thought you meant playing.
Hiding.
Oh, no.
I often think of the joys of my youth, right? Starving ever so slowly. It's an interesting piece because it talks about kids today will not have the same kind of youth that we had growing up. Pre-computer.
I think that's a forgiven, yeah.
But I think you could manifest it. I think you can make it a thing.
Okay.
There's just a particular way to do it. We'll talk about it when we get back right after this.
Planning to go to more than one Mariners game this season? Consider a Mariners Flex membership. You can choose your games and seats as you go all season long. Plus, save at least 10% on tickets and pay no fees. Come on board today at mariners.com/flex.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
YouTube, we have a channel, Jack and Spike Show, digital exclusive content. We got a bunch of it. A couple videos go up a day, stuff you don't hear on the show. We also have a podcast that you can go check out. But I think that if you have children, you should keep them away from all this technology stuff. Person wrote into the Washington Post. They said, "Dear Carolyn, I'm a mom to a 4- and a 6-year-old, and watching my favorite movies growing up is making me nostalgic about my childhood and how free it felt when I was just a few years older than my daughter. I was riding my bike to the pool, going on adventures with friends, and exploring my slice of the world. My husband has similar memories. Exploration was our jam." She goes on to say, "Is it possible that in this day and age, as a kid..." I don't know how to read is my response to this. As a kid, I knew bad things could happen, but parents gave us a wide berth. Has the world gotten more dangerous, or are we hearing about the dangers more? Are summer days a la The Sandlot no longer? I want my kids to experience freedom. Am I naive? The Great Bambino. Remember that?
Sure, of course.
Remember
I
that
do.
Scene from
of course
the,
I do.
Right? The Colossus of Clout, Smalls. The Colossus of
You're
Clout.
You're killing me, Smalls.
You're killing me, Smalls, right?
Greatest movies of all time.
Sure. You know, Benny the Jet Rodriguez, he's not coming back. He's been gone for a long time. You know what I mean? And what's his name? He got really into the 60s. Nobody ever saw him again.
Squints. Squints married, by the way, Wendy Peppercorn.
Oh, for real?
Yep.
Oh, that's married right. Her. Okay, so the question is that we got to ask ourselves is... So I don't really care what other people do with their kids. I will outline for you what I will do with my children if I am ever so fortunate to have children. I plan on shielding them almost entirely from any technology that is a screen that's going beep, boop, beep, boop, bop, bop, bop. Anything that's going to overload their little neuroceptors,
okay,
not going to happen, right?
Good.
Children have this thing, they have mirror neurons in their brain, which are designed to reflect the behavior that they take in. They are hardwired to do that, right?
Sure. That's how we learn from our parents, our culture, right?
All kinds of stuff like you would not even imagine.
Okay.
Between the developmental ages of about 1 and 7, they are just absorbing a tremendous amount of information.
Sure.
And for some reason, somewhere along the lines, we thought, yeah, we'll just put my kids 6 hours in front of a blinking screen that's got cartoon characters speaking in riddles and sing-songs and whatnot and axioms, and then I will expect my child to be a well-balanced individual. This is insanity. This is crazy. I don't think that children should be exposed to personally, if I was lord of the world, I would say that you shouldn't show your kid anything before the age of probably 8.
So
no technology whatsoever in terms of screens that go beep, boop, bop,
yeah,
boop,
bop. Yeah, I'm with you.
Laura, this is upsetting you. Why is this upsetting you, Laura?
I grew up on a cul-de-sac. We were able to run around, and it was really fun and fundamental to my growth and development as a kid.
Did you have screens that went beep, boop, bop, boop?
No.
Right.
No.
My point is that kids need to have those kinds of experience. Like, there's a certain amount of autonomy that children need in order to develop properly. And now, basically, what we're doing, we're taking kids, specifically young men and young women, but we're taking them and we're teaching them how to isolate. Go into your room. Look at the screen. Bond with the screen. That numb black screen that gives you all those sweet hits of dopamine every time it goes beep, bop, beep, boop. This is not the way to live. You ever look at the way that kids look now? They look older. Why is that? They look disheveled. They look unkept, largely. Why is that?
I tell you why. It's because they haven't been out in the sun.
There's a lot of no sun. It's
no
a lot
fresh
of no
air.
Activity.
Yep.
You got the highest rates of child obesity is largely in the United States.
So I support your intention to keep your kids off screens for as long as humanly possible. It's going to be part of their education because we're all evolving to that. Is it safe to send them outside? That's what the letter's about. Is the world we live in today much, much more dangerous than the world I grew up in or my kids grew up in because they're young adults now?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just that we think it's more dangerous because we get to see every piece of danger put to us on the news every night, every hour?
I think that it's a combination. I think it's the latter. I think it's the amount of negative information that's fed to people on a regular basis is pretty horrific. But the other problem with this is that why don't you see the same instances of like malicious child abuse in, let us just say, tribal societies. When you go and you analyze nomadic tribal, why don't we see the same kidnappings,
right?
Assaults, whatever it is. It's because what often happens in those tribal units is that when the kids go off to play, they're still within eyeshot of one of the members of the group.
There's some parent around.
There is somebody who's always kind of hovering around. What we have now is we have these coffins, basically, that we call homes,
yeah,
that we open up every so often and we emerge from, like Dracula, and then we retreat into, which basically gives us no access to view what our children are doing.
It used to be one of the parents in my neighborhood knew where all the kids, or we're all at somebody's house, whether it was,
yeah,
Tim's house, Scholar's house, Steve's house, Tony's, whatever it was.
Right.
And that parent knew. You know, that I'm on right now. I got all the kids in my pool or in my backyard, in my basement. I'm on right now.
Right.
It's on me to keep these kids out of trouble, watch what they're doing. They're going to push the boundaries of common sense and stupidity. You know, and you could. You knew your neighbors. You knew your friends' parents. Your friends' parents knew what you were allowed to do, not allowed to do. There,
yeah,
was a set.
And I think,
and we don't anymore. You're right.
Right. And I think the other issue is that a lot of people have defaulted on allowing technology to do their parenting for them.
Sometimes out of necessity. It,
sure,
doesn't justify it. But
I'm not judging. No, I'm just observing.
Yeah, I hear you.
But when you allow, rather than engaging with your child, when you allow them to go into their room and isolate for 4 hours every night, that's a you problem. That's not a teen problem. That's the problem of you allowing that to happen.
As a parent. And, yeah.
As a parent,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I talked to Jake Skorheim. He's got 3 boys. He's got another one on the way. And I said, so you're doing chef duty, chauffeur duty, because his wife is so pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I'm doing everything. I said, when do you have time for yourself? And he says, 18 years.
From, yeah, right. from the birth of the youngest. Yeah.
And I thought that was just so endearing that you have somebody who's really the embodiment of parenting, which is that I am sacrificing my own selfishness for my children. You know what I mean? Like, I am not going to go do what you want to do. Daddy's got to go look at YouTube. It's
that he's so engaged with his children's lives that he's willing to go through all that. What's funny, Laura? Why are you laughing right now?
Daddy needs his Mr. Beast video.
Daddy needs his Mr. Beast.
Just that daddy's only sane moment of the day is watching my Mr. Beast. Leave me alone.
And also think of the amount of time that people invest into the sweet little dopamine hits we get on a regular basis from this thing, right? I mean, this is like a real...
Well, it's a problem that all of us have. And so parents are modeling that for their kids.
For their kids, yes, true.
Right. And so I thought about it and I thought, how do I not model this for my kids? You know, I have the no phone zone around my bed.
Yeah.
I was thinking about if I ever have the opportunity to have children, I think I'll have a no phone zone in the house. Like, meaning that past this line, there are no phones.
I know parents that do that, but they do it with a clock.
You
know,
that
there's certain hours of the day where you don't get your phone. You come home from school, you interact with your parents for a little while. You get a little phone time after your homework's done.
Yeah,
family time and dinner time. It's no phone time.
I think that might be a good
way. Then you get a little bit of time again with your phone if you need it to do whatever. Check in with your buddies. Sometimes social is social media.
But then
a certain hour of the night, that's it.
Did Mickey Gomez say that she cut the Wi-Fi at 9 o'clock at night?
Yeah, I learned that from
Mickey
her.
Mickey Gomez. Yep. Take a really quick break. When we get back, as someone who suffers from tinnitus, I got to tell people that there's a way to avoid it because I have really bad tinnitus from when I was a rock star putting my head next to my amps. And so there's a piece in the Washington Post talking about how you can avoid this affliction where you constantly hear a note.
The high pitch.
All the time. And we shall talk about it when we get back right after this.
Daddy needs his Mr. Beast.
Daddy needs his Mr. Beast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tinnitus is something that I suffer from, mostly when people play Bad Rush, mostly.
There's no such thing as Bad Rush.
I'm hearing some right now, Mr. O'Neill.
Goodness.
I just cannot stand Rush at all. So tinnitus is an affliction that few people suffer from. Famous people who suffer from it are people like, what's his name, Captain Kirk.
Shatner?
Shatner has tinnitus. He's got it really, really bad.
Wow.
Yeah, and he said that when they matched the pitch, because it's a pitch that never ends.
Right.
And he said that when he went to the audiologist and they matched the pitch, meaning that all of a sudden it would just cut out, he wept. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when they finally figured out what the pitch was.
Is that what Shatner hears all the time?
Yeah, exactly.
The door's opening.
So,
you know who else is? Pete Townsend's almost completely deaf.
Yeah. And I can tell you why, because Pete Townsend and I did the same thing, which is that, you know, when you have a 1972 Telecaster Deluxe that's been refitted with P90s from a Les Paul Jr. and you dime your Marshall amp, specifically your JCM 800, which is a tube amp, and then you put your right ear right next to it as it feeds back because it looks cool.
That's what happened.
By the time you're 28, you realize Is anybody else hearing that whistling in here? Is anybody else hearing that? And everyone's going, no. Nope. I thought that, doesn't that sound like feedback to you guys? No, dude. It's so, are you guys messing with me right now? Because I swear. So to this day, what I get is it's infrequent tinnitus. So it'll randomly, I'll just be minding my own business, reading something, and all of a sudden I'll just hear like someone
saying. Seriously?
Sending,
not triggered by a loud noise?
No, it's just a telegraph right in my. Just,
oh, wow.
Beep, 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 beep. And I'll just be hanging out thinking, okay, well, this makes me want to kill myself because it is so annoying. And like, imagine that you're trying to go to sleep and it's totally quiet and you're listening to your white noise machine. And all of a sudden you just hear beep, 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 right in your ear. It is maddening.
So can you no longer go to like live shows?
Without ear protection. Because if I go to a live show without ear protection, by the time I walk out, the entirety of it will be and that's going to activate it right there.
I'm sorry. I was trying to help the audience at home understand that caused you pain.
So when I went to go see the Budos band, I forgot my ear protection, and those guys play loud. And so I thought to myself, well, I mean, I can survive an hour of them playing, and 45 minutes into it, I had to leave because I was like, this is going to be bad. So the way that you avoid this, if you love live music, is you have to bring ear protection, and I would recommend that people try a couple of them before you find the one that really works for you.
I have been playing with our band for 20-some years, and I found that I have to wear something on stage.
Yeah.
To keep my bass drum, my bass player and my drummer from destroying me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I luckily have been able, I don't have any tinnitus, despite all the times I've been on stage in front of speakers or been at concerts. I mean, when
it's
I was a kid.
That thick Irish skull of yours is what
might
it
be.
Is.
Yeah. You know, when you got nothing to lose.
Do you know what it is, by the way, that tone that plays?
Uh-uh.
Is that your the nerve endings in your ear, in your cochlea, have been so activated that they are thinking that it's picking up noise. And because it's not picking up noise, it's generating noise in your mind, if that's not crazy.
It's like searching
it thinks
for a signal?
Exactly. It thinks it should be hearing that frequency because that's the nerve that's been activated. So you're not actually hearing anything. That is your brain. You're basically your ear trying to convince itself that it's not crazy by saying, yeah, there's a tone. You guys hear that tone, right? So there's no actual sound. It's just that the nerve that hears that frequency or is supposed to pick up that frequency is sending the signal to your brain that frequency is being emitted somewhere. And that's why it's maddening.
Do you ever see little kids being taken to shows and the parents wear earphones.
Yeah, yeah,
earmuffs
or
whatever.
Big old earmuffs.
That's so smart. I have so much respect for those parents who, at first you're like, you're bringing a little kid to a show, it's kind of a thing to do, but they've got the cute little pink headphones.
That's
baby's
really,
part of the groove.
Did you protect your ears when you went to go see Taylor Swift, Laura?
I have not seen Taylor Swift because those tickets were $200.
You're going to Puyallup this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Tay Day's going to Puyallup.
I will buy you tickets the next time.
I'm seeing her in December. I'm really excited.
Great.
About
I don't have to buy Laura tickets now. Hooray. Save myself $1,500. It's the best day of all time.
Free money. What are you going to spend it on?
Taylor Swift tickets. Andrew, A plus, Nate Connors. Dang, Nate Connors.
I'm here, buddy.
Is that a fitted men's button up, my guy?
Yes, sir.
Is that the top two not buttoned?
Yeah, that's right.
God,
you noticed
Nate
it,
that's Connors.
That's a spring collection.
This is a workplace, my friend. You're going to set off the fire alarm in here, my friend. Laura, A plus. Spike, we'll give you a solid C plus, my
Thanks,
friend.
Thanks, buddy. Thank
Here's
you.
A quote of the day.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Mike in the 360 is already suggesting that we take you down to this Taylor Swift event.
I would just burst into flames.
A purple lavender puff.
A spontaneous combustion would occur.
Glitter would fall from the sky.
Children would be crying. Parents would be running away.
I'm getting you a friendship bracelet.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.